Today on Real Radio.
If you and I are freaking out about stuff, then we have a very small view of our God. Think about it. You know this. When David saw Goliath, did David run away from Goliath or did he run toward Goliath?
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series called The Disciplines of Life, a collection of studies that applies scriptural principles to our lives as true disciples of Jesus. One of those areas of discipline is our growing trust and dependence upon our Maker and Redeemer, as pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs demonstrates in this topical presentation called The Discipline of Dependence.
There is no way that mankind was created to deal with this life's situations. Let's be honest. You and I were designed to live in the Garden of Eden until Adam and Eve blew it. You and I were designed to live in perfection. You and I were designed to live in fellowship with God. And now we find ourselves in a fallen world, and we find ourselves trying to cope with this age in which you and I live in, and this flesh that you and I live inside of. And in the beginning, it was not what God intended. Life, you need to wake up to this fact, is just too big for you to do it on your own. You can't do it. That's why there's drugs, alcohol, all the stuff that people invest their time into, trying to find meaning or trying to fill a void in their life, trying to somehow be somebody else or somebody more because life's too big. And then if that weren't enough, life throws its curveballs at you. Difficulty, challenges. And I need not even talk about things like that in this world today. You know all about them. They're even on the headlines of the papers as the world is in such a terrible condition. Life and at times can be completely overwhelming, even too big, as I say. In John chapter 6, verse 67, John 6, 67, it says, "Then Jesus said to the 12 disciples, 'Do you also want to go away?'" This is when the ministry was heating up, and Jesus said to them, "Do you guys want to leave too? You want to quit?" But Simon Peter answered Jesus and said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Man, that's a great word. The temptation today, church, listen, it's huge. The world is pressuring against the church, and that's okay. That's what I'm here to tell you about. The discipline of being dependent upon God, it's okay for the world to hit us and come against us. It's okay. That's what we expect from the world. But why do Christians cave in? Because they have failed to remember that Jesus Christ is the Lord, the Son of the living God, the absolute power in your life. We don't have to do this on our own. Life is too big. And God steps in and says, "I'll tell you what. I want my life to flow out of your life in abundance." Can somebody say amen to that more? Amen. That is absolutely true. Jesus said in John chapter 7 that the Holy Spirit is to, as it were, gush out of your innermost being. Torrents of living water, he said. That's the work of the Holy Spirit coming out of the life of the believer. That's what he wants in our lives. But we need to wake up to the fact. Listen, so many people today are trying to hold up life, and they can't do it. This great discipline of dependence is not something to run away from. It's something to embrace. People will say, "I can't take life. I can't put up with it anymore." Good. You've come to the right moment and time of your life. It's time to quit this world and join his world. It's time to absolutely give up in your own strength. And I don't know why. I don't know where we get this idea that we're so strong anyway. Our world is broken. Sin is rampant. We are fallen creatures. But Jesus Christ came, died on the cross, rose again from the grave to give you and I eternal life and strength. And then if that weren't enough, he gave the Holy Spirit to empower the believer until he comes again. All of us are going to go through life. You're going through life right now. Look, you're sitting down, but man, you're flying through life right now. You're going through life, and the question is, how am I going to go through life? And to whom and with whom am I going to go through life? And there'll always be the God factor in the life that we live. You may be here tonight, and you may be kicking against God. I don't want anything to do with God. I don't like God. But you find yourself here. Well, that's because my friend invited me. But you're here, and God is speaking. He'll speak to your heart. He'll say, who are you running from? You don't believe in me, so then why are you running from me? You don't believe in me, so why are you so angry at me? A friend of mine was telling me the other day about his friend. He's an older man. And he said, I will not accept Jesus Christ into my life until God accepts certain things according to my rules. Isn't that something? Wow. But you know, there's people like that. Best thing to do is to wake up and realize how big life is, that it was never intended for you and I to live it alone in our own strength. Psalm 55, verse 4. Psalm 55, 4 says, my heart is severely pained within me. Do you find yourself ever in that place? And the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me. And horror has overwhelmed me. Boy, isn't that a commentary on our age? So I said, listen to verse 6, Psalm 55, verse 6. So I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Is that not the cry of the world? And even the life of the believer, we might want to cry that cry. But as we'll see in a moment, the Lord comes in and says, I'm here, I'm with you. But the world tonight wants to snap their fingers, as it were. By the way, I just think it's actually beautiful. And you do too, actually. You know the answer. When people come to that moment and they say, yes, you know what? I'm not a Christian, but I like what that just said there on those screens. I want to sprout wings and fly away like a dove and get away from everything. People, that's what you do when you don't have God. You run. That's okay. You just keep running. And eventually you're going to get tired and you're going to poop out. Poop out in Hebrew is a word for to become very tired. And you surrender. I think it was a singer many years ago, even when I was a little kid, he was a famous guy, B.J. Thomas. Remember that guy? Raindrops keep falling on my head. And in his testimony he gave at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa one year, he said, and this is way back in like 1869 or something like that, when he said back then, I remember it, he said, I had a $5,000 a week cocaine habit back then. That was back then. And he said, I couldn't hear from God, I couldn't think about God until I was flat on my back and I couldn't look any direction, he said, but straight up. And maybe you're in that place tonight. Wake up to the fact that life is too big. The disciplines of dependence is coming to that point of saying, God, I can't do this. Psalm 61, verse 1 says, hear my cry, O God. The psalmist says, attend to my prayer. You ever cry that cry? From the end of the earth I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. Nobody cares about that verse until you need a strong tower, until you have an enemy. Oh, I pray enemies upon all of you tonight. You say, you got to be kidding me. No, man, when you've got enemies, you run and run and run to that strong tower. God help us if our life is comfortable. That's a dangerous place to be. We need him. Overwhelmed. The crushing. When my heart is overwhelmed. Where, listen, the spiritual situation upon your soul is so intense because of the physical setting around you that there is a crushing that will either destroy you or bring you to Christ. You'll either throw your arms up and surrender and worship and praise to him, or you'll shake your fist at him. Isn't that what we see in the book of Revelation? We see a great number of people and a numeral host of people accepting Christ during the tribulation period. And then at the same time, you read in the book of Revelation that there are those who will not repent. And what do? They shake their fist at the great God that dwells in heaven. Remarkable. But we need to wake up regarding our body, our physical strength, and say, Lord, I can't do it. We need to wake up in our soul, that is our emotions, and say, Lord, I can't make it. And wake up in spirit to be awake to the things of God. We need to wake up your life, my life, it's too big. I'm going to give you this, it just pops into my head. I remember it from yesteryear. It's good stuff. Chuck Mister said this 30 years ago. He said, when we worry, we are assuming a responsibility that was never intended to be ours. Charles Spurgeon says that when we worry, we are putting faith in the devil. But when we give up and say, Lord, you take control of my life, he does that thing. Number two, the disciplines of dependency upon God is this, to identify. The second thing you want to do is identify these things in your life. Identify your situation in light of Scripture. I'm going to assume tonight we're all Christians in here tonight. Just make this assumption. And what you want to do regarding your life is identify what is happening or what the issue is in your life, and you want to identify that situation in light of the Bible. In other words, we put it this way. What does the Bible say? More affectionately, we used to have the bracelets or the t-shirts that used to say, what would Jesus do? Remember that? What would Jesus do? Well, we're really saying, what does God's word say about the situation that I'm in? Are you dating somebody? Yeah, how'd you know? I don't, but. Is he a Christian? If you have to think about it, lose his number now. Forget her email if she's not. That's a direct command of the Scripture. Identify the situation of your life now in light of the Scripture. Are you having a trouble? Are you having a relationship trouble with your mom? The Bible's got the answer. Is it a friend? The Bible's got the answer. Are you having a situation at work with your boss and a coworker? The Bible's got the answer. You should know where to find it and apply that answer. Search the Scriptures say. Why? In Romans 15, verse 4, it says, whatever things were written before time were written for our learning, that's the Old Testament, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Isn't that a great word? Identify those who have gone on before us and have taught us, is what Paul is saying in Romans 15, verse 4. Think about Adam. Listen, identify yourself in light of Scripture. Think about Adam. God said, Adam, don't do this, and Adam did that, and I'm telling you, that's a painful yet real identification of what he did versus what God's word says. What about Job? Wow. Have you ever suffered? Now, there's a great chance here in this room tonight that none of us combined have suffered like Job has suffered. But if you find yourself suffering, I don't care if you have a hangnail or you got cancer. If you feel like you're suffering, go to the Word of God is your number two discipline. Identify your life situation with the Bible. And this is going to keep the Word of God relevant in your life every day. Every day. By the way, for those of us who are going through the daily Bible reading, man, I tell you, these last few days, Lisa and I are reading the Word of God together, the one-year Bible together, and man, those things are applying to our lives and or giving us counsel for the lives of others. It's powerful stuff. Great stuff. Wow, there's great wisdom there. Identifying your life in light of Scripture. Psalm 142, verse 3 says, for I am overwhelmed, the crushing, there's the force of all these things coming upon me. He says, for I am overwhelmed, and you alone know the way that I should turn. What a great prayer. Oh, Lord, we are overwhelmed as Americans. We're overwhelmed at times as Christians. But you alone, God, know the way that I should turn. Wherever I go, my enemies have set traps for me. I look for someone to come and help me. But no one gives me a passing thought. No one will help me. No one cares a bit what happens to me. Verse 5, Psalm 142. Then I prayed to you, O Lord. Notice that. Oh, my world's coming apart. And then he prays. And he says, you are my place of refuge. You are all I really want in life. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are safe. Wow. So these three things we identify with Scripture regarding our physical body. We need physical healing. Identify with that. Do you need a physical healing? What does the Bible say about that? Cry out to God. You want to identify with Scripture regarding your soul. That is your emotions. The psuche is the Greek word for your mind, the seat of your emotions. And do you need mental or emotional stability? You go to God. You should cry out to him, Lord, I need stability in my heart, in my mind. And then identify with Scripture regarding your spiritual life. Do you and I need strength tonight spiritually? I'll answer for you. Yes, we do. And we say, Lord, give me strength. Remember back in Exodus 3:14 when Moses says, okay, I'll go. I'll do everything you say, God, but who do I tell the children of Israel sent me? And God says, you tell them I am that I am sent you. And you look that up in the Hebrew, and let me tell you, if you have socks on your feet, they will come off. It is awesome. You want to know why? The word that God gives as his name is not only his name, but he's the conforming one. He is the becoming one. When he says, I am that I am, this is what he is announcing regarding the deep inner meaning of Yahweh, the name of God. I am the one that becomes what you need or whom you need. Do you need protection? He's the Lord who will protect you. Do you need peace? He's Yahweh Shalom. Are you sick and tired of trying to walk in this life in your own strength, of trying to keep yourself pure yourself? Tell him, I can't do it. And he says, all right, Yahweh Tzidkenu. I'll be your righteousness. The Lord, your righteousness. That's why Peter said, as I, the Lord says, am righteous, so you be righteous. And you say, I can't do that. And the Lord says, scoot over. And I will be your righteousness. And then he says to us, be holy, for I am holy. How can we do that? Because we are in Christ now, and he becomes our righteousness. Yahweh Tzidkenu is the name, one of the great names of God. What about Yahweh or Jehovah Jireh? Yahweh Jireh. Yahweh Jireh. The Lord our provider. I heard on the news today foreclosures hit an all-time record this week in America. Foreclosures. They're saying there's no end in sight. People losing their homes. And God says, I will provide for you. See, what does that mean? Does he mean he's going to make my house payment? I don't know what that means. He can do it if he wants to, but this he's committed to. He said in the word, the righteous shall never be seen begging bread. He has committed himself to the righteous. Number three, the disciplines of dependence upon God is this: measure your situation to God, or in light of God, or measure your life situation against God. The magnitude of the things of your life, measure them. How great is the problem that is facing your life? Measure that against the stature of God. Now watch this. Oh, please, if you need to be offended, be, please, offended with this. It's a good shot in the arm. If you and I are freaking out about stuff, then we have a very small view of our God. Think about it. You know this. When David saw Goliath, did David run away from Goliath or did he run toward Goliath? He was just a punk kid, probably a teenager, with a sling and some stones. He ran toward him. He took off toward him. Can you imagine what Goliath must have thought? This kid's on crack or something. What is he doing? He must think I'm a toy to be played with. David, if you look at it right and measure the situation against God, David was running right toward his Lord. Because there is nowhere that Goliath could have gone to have been safe from the eternal God. And David knew from being a young shepherd boy that wherever he went, God was. So put that together. Come on, think for a minute. Pinch yourself if you have to. Get this down. If David runs toward Goliath, and then, what is this kid doing? I'm running toward the situation because I know my God in the past has delivered me from everything I've ever been involved in. And so here, Lord, take this rock and let it sink right into the big fat forehead of that uncircumcised Philistine. Hey, I didn't make that up. That's what it says. And wham, the Bible says that that rock sunk into his forehead. Can you imagine the thump that must have made? You ever hear somebody's head hit the ground? It's a sickening feeling, isn't it? Unless it's Goliath getting a rock in his head. And then it's like, yeah! Oh, but life is just so overwhelming, Jack. I don't think I can make it. Listen, you need to measure that situation in light of God. And all of a sudden, though it may be unmanageable to us, it certainly is very manageable to him. And he gets all the glory. Last Sunday, it was after one of the services, so you may have missed this. A woman came up to me last Sunday in between services, and we had prayed for her son Dylan as a church a couple months ago. The little guy had tumors all over the inside of his body, cancerous tumors. She came up to me and she's crying. I go, what's the matter? And she said, my son, they did the test. They took another look, and there's not one tumor. There's no cancer. It's gone. And I said, listen, you got to write that down. You got to write that down, and we got to give God praise. Because if we don't, we'll be robbing God. Because here is this life-overwhelming situation measured up to the power of our God. It's our God who suspended the universe out there in space. It's our God that holds those constellations in order. And we panic about this or about that. He's got the rings around Saturn. He's doing it all. And we don't think he's going to come through for us or that he's going to get us into heaven. Proverbs 34, verse 18 says this, "The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart." Is your heart broken tonight? Is your heart weeping? Are you broken of heart? The Lord says, "I'm near you."
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called The Discipline of Dependence, an examination of what God's written word says about the art and skill of trusting our Maker and Redeemer more and more as each year passes. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called The Disciplines of Life, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, what we just heard is available online at realradioactive.org. You can hear today's broadcast once again or purchase the message in its entirety. And in fact, you can subscribe to podcasts of Real Radio. Just visit realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and click the orange button that says simply podcast. And then it takes you to a page that shows you exactly what to do. RealRadioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.